Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Well, even though Mercury went direct last Saturday, it'll still be 3 more weeks or 2.5 more weeks until it's completely back to normal. So if you're still experiencing some Mercury-type weirdness, just hang in there. It's moving on out. Our special guest tonight is Jill Renee Feeler, who is a spiritual teacher, interdimensional messenger, published writer, intuitive, healer, and inspirational visionary for thousands of beings across the globe seeking reunion with their highest vibrational access. She hosts her own radio show here on Blog Talk called Beacon for Lightworkers and offers online classes and workshops, retreats, and private sessions. You can visit her website at theplatinumage.com, and that's the, T-H-E, P-L-A-T-I-N-U-M, platinumage, A-G-E.com. Jill will be talking with us about her journey of expanding awareness and how she's connected with her star guardians, ascended masters, angelic realms, and teaches how you can open that door too. Once again, her website is theplatinumage.com. At the top of the show, it's the Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing topics of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails from our listeners. We are in the process of gathering the next soul group to go with us to Arkansas to dig for Atlantean crystals, experience crystal activations, and reconnect with soul family. The date is October 8th through the 14th, and if you have 25, 26, or 27 degrees of Taurus, Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo, Capricorn, or Cancer on your natal or progress charts, you have the rites of passage to participate. And we still have some spots available. You can learn more if you send an email to crystals, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-S, at starseedhotline.com. We'd like to thank Chris and Fiona for hosting our switchboard this evening, and you're welcome to call in with comments or questions. The number to dial is 917-889-8292, and remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, we'd appreciate your support by clicking follow on our show page. If you're new to our show, the main site is starseedhotline.com, where you can find a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site has been coded for Starseed activation. We have a forum for Starseeds at starseedhotline.ning.com, and we'd like to thank Rose and Tammy for their great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go, or download them right from our show page archives. We'll get to the news in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings in your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. Remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. Please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure you get it in time. And if you'd like a Stage 2 reading to interpret your solar return energies beyond just knowing when the window is, make sure you book it 2 months before your birthday because we do have a waiting list. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, everybody.
Hi, Anastasia.
Hi, Arielle. Lavendar, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm waiting to hear the good news from the good news bee.
You know, this is just not going to be one of those nights. I looked for good news. I've got a couple of great things to tell you, but the news on the world front is a little bit sobering tonight. But that's why we're having tonight's program, is to help everybody get in touch with their inner light, their divine self, so that we can carry the work forward and initiate change on the planet. So let's start by talking about the sun tonight. The sun has been very quiet. I mentioned that to you last week. We talked about possibly a coming mini ice age or a cooling trend. And tonight's news from spacewather.com just simply sort of reaffirms what experts are being puzzled about, that the sun is very quiet. They say solar activity has shifted from low to very low, and none of the sunspots on the Earth side of the sun are actively flaring at the moment. Now, NOAA forecasters expect this situation to continue for the next day or so, and they estimate a slim 10% chance of M-class flares and no more than a 1% chance of X-class flares in the next few days. So the sun is real quiet. It's sleeping. And there was something very interesting that was brought to my attention. Last Friday, NASA's Cassini spacecraft photographed Earth through the rings of Saturn. Is that cool or what? Now, you would wonder what the Earth would look like from that distance, looking back at our planet from Saturn. And I saw photographs of it, and it looks like a star. They say it looks like a pale blue dot, but the photographs that I looked at, it just looks like a star. Looks a lot like what Venus looks like in our night skies when it's big and bright. But that's a pretty amazing thing that Cassini has been able to photograph Earth through the rings of Saturn. Is that cool or what? This is amazing. So, but they do say, and of course, you know, photographs are hard to look at, particularly on the internet, but those experts that have seen them close up say that you can make out in these pictures that Earth is a pale blue dot. So that's so sweet, really. I love that. Well, there have been some earthquakes going on across the planet as usual, but there was a third major earthquake that struck New Zealand in 3 days. And the latest is a 6.5 magnitude earthquake. It really, really panicked New Zealanders. They ran from their buildings in Wellington. The earthquake, 6.5, blew out windows and caused a part of the city's port to slide into the sea. And like I said, it was the third in the last few days, and the others have been in the magnitude 6 plus as well. So that's activity down there. And in China, there were two powerful earthquakes that killed about 75 people, the last count that I was aware of. They say that two earthquakes struck China's northwest Gansu province, and it left 400 people at least injured anyway. And it was a magnitude 5.9. It was shallow. It had a depth of only 9.8 kilometers, is actually 6 miles. And just an hour later, another magnitude 5.6 quake hit the same area. So we've got some big activity going on in that area. You know, I've been reporting on Fukushima over the last number of months, on and off, and there's another update. Courtesy, some of our listeners have pointed this out, and I did want to share this with you because we have, of course, a lot of West Coast listeners, and this concerns food safety and things that I think people ought to be aware of. It's been established, of course, that Fukushima, that happened over 2 years ago, is still leaking radiation. And recent studies this year indicate that nuclear fallout from Fukushima, that happened, by the way, in March of 2011, has led to significant elevated rates of congenital thyroid illness among infants born on the West Coast and in Hawaii. And as Change.org reports, they say the initial meltdown of three reactors from the tsunami of March 11, 2011, even though it occurred 2 years ago, this complex, Fukushima, is still highly unstable and leaking radiation constantly into the air and water. Now, they say that the Pacific Ocean is becoming increasingly contaminated, and West Coast marine mammals are dying by the thousands. And they say, according to this website, that West Coast babies are getting sick. Actually, there's been a real marked increase in thyroid disorders in children along the Pacific coastline. The FDA is no longer testing food for radiation, although many fish are contaminated, and there have been reports of milk, mushrooms, and seaweed being radioactive. And by the way, they're not checking the air along the West Coast either, although they did initially and stopped that early on. Now, new data being released by Japan's Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare shows levels of cesium-137 and cesium-134 is being found in produce and rice crackers located about 225 miles away from Fukushima, and the contaminants are high enough to cause residents to exceed annual radiation exposure in just a few months or even a few weeks. Now, 10 becquerels of radiation per liter of water is the officially safe level, according to the Nuclear Regulatory Administration, or Commission. But on July 8th, according to TEPCO, the company that was responsible for Fukushima, they measured radioactive cesium-134 at 9,000 becquerels per liter. Now, in March of this year, researchers from Stanford University Hopkins Marine Station issued a report on bluefin tuna caught off the California coast and tested them for radioactive cesium. The report found that bluefin tuna were 100% contaminated, that not one of these tuna was cesium-free. The report did not address such questions as whether cesium would continue to accumulate in tuna or whether it was appearing in other fish species. Now, I might add an editorial note here that these particular contaminants, cesium-137, 134, some of these have half-lives of hundreds of thousands of years. So certainly hundreds to hundreds of thousands of years, and some much longer. Now, reporting on the same radiation leaking information, the Two Rivers Tribune in Northern California has written, "On the coast of California, there is a deep-sea kelp forest at Corona del Mar that now contains concentrations of radiation that are 250 times higher than levels found in kelp prior to the Japanese nuclear accidents." A research article also published in Scientific American reports that radiation accumulated in fish that ate near the kelp, well, the fish are also being contaminated with the radiation from the kelp. So this is a warning and an alert to be mindful, and perhaps to be mindful about eating imported food from Japan. Certain food stores make that available. I've always been a seaweed eater, or a kelp eater, and I'm really reevaluating my position on that. And so we do need to be mindful. You know what I mean? Okay. And on the same note, and this may or may not be connected, you know, the planet is just demonstrating, let's say, change. And we've talked a lot about animal die-offs and so on, but this has been in the news that there have been a lot of mysterious animal die-offs in Australia, the United States, Germany, and Indonesia, and that includes bees, fish, and birds. There were 36,000 bees found dead in Germany. There was a carp die-off in Holter Reservoir in Montana. Those of you that live in Montana may be aware of that. In the intercoastal Baltimore region of Maryland, in the Inner Harbor, there was a mysterious die-off recently. And in Lake Tanado in Indonesia, there was a huge die-off of tilapia and carp. And in Queensland, Australia, they're reporting that black kites are falling out of the sky. And Lake Michigan beaches are having problems with fish washing ashore. And hundreds of fish were found dead at Strawberry Reservoir in Utah. And I'm from, you know, been in that area, and that's a nice, beautiful area, and very unfortunate. And also in Sugar Lake, Missouri, thousands of fish have been found along the shores. And they say that Chinook salmon are dying along the remote stretch of the Middle Fork of the John Day River in Oregon. And also there's a die-off in Oak Run, Ohio. Any of you that have been experiencing these in your area, those of you that live in these regions that have had any, have any reports that you'd like to share with me or any insight, I would appreciate hearing from you. And an important story tonight that I feel like I need to bring forward, and some of you, probably most of you don't know about this, and I was pretty amazed, to say the least, to learn of it. But the CDC has quickly removed a page from their website, which somebody was quick enough to cache and also can probably be found on the Wayback Machine. And when I found this webpage, I did take a screen print. But the CDC on this webpage that they have since taken down, and by the way, they took it down right after this went viral on the Internet. But the CDC admitted that 98 million Americans received polio vaccine in an eight-year span when it was contaminated with a cancer virus. The CDC has admitted that more than 98 million Americans received one or more doses of polio vaccine within an eight-year period, and that would have been from 1955 to 1963, when a proportion of the vaccine was contaminated with a cancer-causing poliomyelovirus called SV40. Now, it's been estimated that 10 to 30 million Americans could have received a contaminated dose of this vaccine. And I was among the generation that got those vaccines. And a lot of us listening to this program did receive those very same vaccines. Now, SV40 is an abbreviation for simian vacuolating virus, simian virus 40, and it's found in both monkeys and humans. Now, pathologists at Loyola University in Chicago have recently isolated fragments of the SV40 virus in human bone cancers and in a lethal form of lung cancer called mesothelioma. Now, these researchers have found SV40 in 33% of the osteosarcoma bone cancers and in 40% of other bone cancers and in 60% of lung cancers. And incidentally, in context of this research, there is a doctor called Michelle Carbone who openly has acknowledged that HIV and AIDS was spread by the hepatitis B vaccine produced by Merck and Company during the early 1970s. This matter-of-fact disclosure came about during their discussion of the contamination of the polio vaccines. I'm just adding that as an aside. Now, most authorities will now admit that much, possibly most, of the world's cancers have come from the Salk and Sabin polio vaccines and hepatitis B vaccines produced in monkeys and chimps. And it's also being detected now in tumors that are removed from people never inoculated with this contaminated vaccine, leading some to conclude that those infected by the vaccine might be spreading the HV40. So many years after the fact, the truth comes out. And for those of you,
I would just like to interject that keeping your immune system very robust,
absolutely,
is the key factor there, because I don't want people to start, you know, attracting illness.
Well, no, we don't want to sit around thinking that you've gotten the vaccine so you're doomed. Not at all, because we're about consciousness.
But this is
just information. Really, this is about letting us know how deception rolls through society again and again. And it's really why we need to stay strong with our own inner light and, you know, live by the truth that we know, even though out there others are not honoring that.
Right, and there are just many, many things you can do to beef up your immune system. And that, that's really the key. So go ahead.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That and your consciousness and the way you think. And don't
right.
buy into it and don't own it. Absolutely.
Right.
So, yeah, we don't want anybody panicking over that. But that is just some information that I think that we need to know about. You know, there's a lot of controversy about vaccines right now. And I'm sure many of our listeners are aware of that. And this is just yet another supporting story of, well, you know, people tell us sometimes that things are safe and maybe that's not true. And for those of you that are living in Texas, maybe you've heard about this, but North Texans are coming down ill with a cyclospora infection that they say is spreading on raw fruits and vegetables. Tarrant County, Dallas County, Collin County, and Denton County have reported cases of this. It causes gastrointestinal discomfort, and it can last for weeks. And it is a parasite that leaves its waste on the leaves and the skin of vegetables and fruit. And so they're just telling people, please wash your fruit and vegetables, soak it, scrub it, and then rinse it very, very well before eating. So, you know, the old way of going through the grocery store and grabbing a grape isn't a good idea. So if you live in North Texas, be sure to wash your fruits and vegetables. This has been occurring in the since last week this has been reported. Well, you know, some of our Starseed listeners sent me a link to this story, fascinating, about NBA's Baron Davis, the NBA basketball player, former Knicks player. Baron Davis said that he was abducted by aliens. And he told the hosts of the Champs podcast that he crossed into his own personal twilight zone when he was out driving in California 2 weeks ago. He said, "I was on my way from Las Vegas to L.A., and he said that he was picked up by an alien a craft, looked like a big metal truck. And he said, the next thing you know, I was in this steel thing, and I was being poked in the nose by crazy-looking people who were half human." And he rescinded this. Apparently, he tweeted a few days later that the alien thing was a joke. But on the podcast, Davis said that he is going to print a book out about his alien experience. So that's been in the news. And for those of you that think it would be wonderful to find treasure, there's a great story that just came out in today's news. There was $77 million worth of silver found at the bottom of the Atlantic. American treasure hunters hit it big when they retrieved 60 tons of silver from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. It was a Tampa-based marine exploration company that found this treasure that sank in 1941. It was a British steamship that was secretly carrying silver from India to Great Britain to fund the war effort. It was hit by a German U-boat torpedo. It sunk, and now they have found all that silver. So that's an amazing amount of silver.
Yeah.
60 tons. They're silver bars, huge silver bars. Amazing. What a find. Well, my favorite story, my very favorite story for tonight's news, and I think you'll like it too. And I celebrated this today. I did. I know dairy isn't terribly good for us, but I'll admit to having an ice cream cone, because ice cream cones were invented today, this day, by Charles E. Menchus during the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in St. Louis, Missouri in 1904. So today celebrates the invention of the ice cream cone, which is one of the reasons I came back to this planet. So if you can, and if you're prone to, and if you're so inclined, have a little ice cream today in honor of the great event. All right. Well, that's tonight's news, Ariel Lavendar.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia. I love it.
Thank you.
Yes, I'll have the... double dip of chocolate in Oreos. And
there you go. If you ever needed an excuse, this is it.
Yeah, homemade ice cream. Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh,
so,
man, it's great stuff.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Well, Lavendar?
I'm here.
Hi. Well, I'm going to let you introduce Jill. I think there was something else that you wanted to speak about.
Yeah, let me do that first before we bring her on.
Okay.
I had an email from a lady friend of mine that said, oh, have you done the chart of the royal baby yet? And I hadn't, so I immediately charted the birth, which was July 22nd, 2013, at 4:24 p.m. in London, England. And what I found by doing this chart was, first of all, when I pulled it up, I started thinking about a female chart, a female soul. And it took me about 10 minutes in my mind before I went, wait a minute, this isn't a girl, this is a boy. And I had to back up myself. So, but the thing that I thought was amusing to me, being starseed degree, was the rising is 27 Scorpio, and the seventh house cusp is 27 Taurus, which matches, of course, that Pleiadian lineup, which lets me know that there's some kind of Pleiadian frequency that's within this child. The part of fortune's at 25, 29, which is really 26. So I would say that later in this this child's life, that there will be some event or something that will happen that this person will actually be acquainted with or have something to do with extraterrestrial behavior on the planet. So it looks like that from years from now, that this royal baby will be able to be part of the Pleiadian family and the Pleiadian programs that are here. Although I know that there's, you know, other bloodlines and other agendas that are going on through the bloodline of the kings and queens of England, there seems to be a little hope here that there's a Pleiadian frequency that has now slipped in. The North Node is at 12 Scorpio in the 12th house, which kind of lets me know that they're here on a secret assignment. The Sun was at 29 Cancer in opposition of the Moon at 28. And anytime you have a sun-moon opposition, especially in Cancer and Capricorn, you have a very strong, powerful struggle between the identity and the emotional behavior. Again, though, I kept looking at the chart thinking, this is the chart of a woman. And I was talking to another astrologer today, my friend Kat, and she said, "Do you think that might be Diana?" And I said, "Very strong possibility. Maybe she wanted to come in and be a man and be part of the family again. Just something to think about." It looks like there's about 15 markings in here that show past life ascension, past life mastership in the chart, 15 lifetimes. So with that, I will conclude, and let's bring Jill on.
All right. Just hang on a second, Jill. Let me get your microphone open.
Okay.
Okay. Jill, welcome to Starseed Radio Academy.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
Well, Jill, you have really, I played the video yesterday that you sent me, and I'm just absolutely so honored that you put up a YouTube video talking about our session. I even got to hear my own voice. It was like, oh, I'm sitting there going, oh, my goodness, she really did do this. So thank you so much for, you know, going out of your way to tell people about the star markings in their charts. I just wanted
You're so welcome.
I do appreciate you doing that.
I definitely can't miss the opportunity here to thank you on behalf of so many that you've helped. The confirmation that you offered me in my session of things that were coming through for me and how I was identifying with my soul signature, it's just really helpful to have those types of aspects of who and what you are and how we wired ourselves to come in, validated by someone that doesn't know you.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I know. I know that. It's like, wow, yeah somebody else knows.
Yes, and all along my process, I've always been guided to really share with others what has been assisting me, because if they're resonating with what I'm sharing, they're probably going to resonate with what has assisted me in being who I am.
So was it after we had this session that you decided to do a website? Give us a little background on how this
timeline
started unfolding for you, what you're doing now.
Okay. So it was the summer of 2008. I was very involved in my corporate career. I had two young daughters. I think they were, 2008 would have been, they were 6 and 3. And I was very mainstream, very 3D, not really into metaphysical things at all. And I was in the midst of a business decision, and I was kind of stressing about it. And my sister-in-law, who was very embracing of the metaphysical, said, "Well, you should go see my psychic." And I mean, that is so not me. And I just looked at her like she had, you know, weird, like a third eye or something. I was like, "What? Why would I do that? That wouldn't help me at all." But lo and behold, that was an opening for me. And I did end up visiting with her psychic. And it started to set in motion a different timeline for me in my life. And it really just all unfolded from there. So the way that I look at it was 2008 was a timed event for me, that it was kind of like the knock on the door. And it wasn't a rock bottom situation at all. I loved my life, and it was really a matter of choice A or choice B, which one felt the most good for me. But that series of events just basically led to, within 9 months, I realized that I have a lot of multidimensional abilities, as I know we all do. But I was beginning to personally experience them and notice them more clearly in the people around me, my children and other people. And I was just really using and accessing divine energy in a completely different way. So I was expanding my energy field. I was rewiring myself. And within, by January of 2010, I felt led to create a website because I started to get messages in September of 2009. So really quickly, I started to access my intuition, my healing abilities, what some would call channeling abilities. I call it interdimensional communication because it's just messages for humanity that just come out. And I'm in the back seat, kind of like, wow, what am I going to say next? So I could see that everything that I was receiving was really meant for others as it was personally benefiting me too. And then, so it just really unfolded from there. By January of 2011, I launched a Blog Talk Radio show, and I've been doing intuitive sessions and online classes and what I call remembering workshops. hosting retreats and things like that, just really all the way along. So you and I met, and I actually like how I've been doing this because I get confirmation in private sessions from other people. I get them maybe once or twice a year, although I haven't done anything yet for 2013. But I get amazing validation and confirmation as well as new insights from other people after I'm already on my way.
Well, that's sometimes how it becomes very clear to you that you're on mission, you're on purpose,
yeah.
and you're in alignment with your natural state, and you are so connected to your rites of passage, and it sounds like that you're just, you know, rowing that boat onward. I'm proud to hear about it. You sent me a list of questions, so I'd like to refer now to the question that you have. What does the Christ consciousness mean to you?
Mm. That was a fun list of questions. When you guys asked me if I had a list, I was like, well, we can come up with a list. The Christos or Christed consciousness to me is so much about the restoration of light to humanity and to the planet. It's shown to me that there are these different grand and also minor cycles that happen on Earth, and obviously humanity is affected by that. We're coming out of a separation age. And everything that you hear about Anastasia's wonderful and insightful and wise report is related to that. It's evidence of the separation age, the dying off of species. Another way to look at that is transition of species from this reality to other dimensions, because, of course, there is no death. But all of this is what I feel so strongly in everything that I do, and I see it so clearly in work that your team does and many others of us do. It's about the changing of the age, the restoring of light, so that the separation opportunity that we've had over the past 26,000 plus years is coming to a close now, that cycle has been completed. We've experienced so many ways of separation from who and what we are, which is Source Creator, in an animated human bodysuit. And now we get to experience our light and our love and our divine wisdom and Source Creator in a conscious way. So that to me is kind of in a nutshell what I feel in terms of the Christic consciousness. It's about restoration. It's about re-membering. It's about the reunification of source energy in the light body in a conscious way into our humanity.
So let me ask you, Jill, did you, we were all looking at December 20th of this year at the end of the Mayan calendar, and what I have found at that time was that we were ending old programs, but we were starting new ones. So when the Teton meeting started on January 1 through 7 inside the mountains up in Wyoming, one of the first things that was directed toward starseeds were they showed us where the old programs were no longer valid, and here came new ones. It was like someone had taken a huge arm and threw all the chess pieces off the board, and they were starting to stack new ones on the board. And it had to do with realigning the bloodlines and the beings on the planet to come more clear into the Christ consciousness that had been placed here several different times throughout the evolution of the planet. It was like there was an upgrade. Did you feel that?
Yes. And I love the words even you've used, because that's exactly some of the terminology I've used and even written in that way. In May of 2011, there was an interaction I had with my team, which is, you know, an unspoken kind of communicative dialogue. And I was actually in this event. What is his name? That movie, I Am, the movie, Tom Shadyac. There was a promotion of he was a present in Boise, and Lynn McTaggart, I think her name, was also in Boise, and they were Lynn was on stage sharing. And what she was sharing was a version of the story that I didn't resonate with. So it was interesting to me, but it was funny because I found myself as Jill being irritated. And I left going, why am I irritated? Why am I irritated? This is fascinating. And my team said, you're irritated because that's not the timeline that you're excited about. You're not, because what I was perceiving her talking about was about the moving of the chessboard pieces. And I said, as Jill, I said, that pisses me off. I'm here for a whole new game board. And my team just celebrated with me, and I said, "That's why I'm." And it was irritation, not in a. It was a healthy progress for me because it helped me break through into what I was irritated about, which was that there's another way of experiencing all of this amazing opportunity that we have, in terms of what can be done, and that's seated within a lot of us. And I have a lot of respect for Lynn and what she's doing as well, because all of it is a valuable process. So, yes, I started being shown in May of 2011 that what we were building up to was creating a whole new game board. And I love looking at and just noticing the different energy patterns of different, you know, dream space and goals and activism and where it's spiraling. Because there are many different versions of upward spiraling energy, but they all have different timelines associated with it. They all lead us to somewhere different. In terms of a present/future or even historical experience in the quantum time realms. So when I think of the Teton meetings in June and also January, as I experience them, it's almost like new orders. It's reassignments. It's those new versions of ourselves that sort of wake up with epiphanies and realizations and whole new codes to work with. I definitely feel those cycles, not just in January and June, but I do see that it's related to what you refer to as the Teton meetings. So, yes, December was a big part of that. And a part of me was cautious about the fact that so many were really anticipating something that would affect the physical realms more than they may perceive that it did. And yet it was clear to me that what happened building up to December 21st and any time-specific dates in there, including the solstice and associated dates, was much more about shifting timelines. And the way that I look at it is creating new timelines in terms of where humanity can evolve into.
Yes, and I started noticing that the clients that would call for sessions had a whole different alignment with their questions, and it was just like overnight. It was like, okay, that game's over. Here's the new game, and then the new people started showing up for the new game. Did you start seeing a difference in January with your clients?
A little bit, but I also feel like because I tend to share things quite readily as soon as I get them. Some of those that were part of this, I want to say this tribe, this cosmic tribe, were already aligned with me prior to that. Does that make sense? So, yes, there are new. There's always kind of new members that are, well, they're not new, they're old, but that come across the radar and connect. But so I think for me it's just more consistent because I'm still so new at this in terms of as Jill.
Well, you don't sound new to this at all. You sound like you're very seasoned, which gives us all a great deal of comfort in listening to you. My next question is about the Platinum Age, creating the new Earth. I understand that you put this together in film. Tell us about it.
Yes. So I was led, it was probably November of 2011, around that time, that I felt really drawn to share a message at the LA Conscious Life Expo in February of 2012. So that was a month before I had the chance to meet with you. On the way to that event, I was actually on the airplane from Boise, where I live, to LA, and I was just receiving this amazing upload as I was connecting with the team on what we would share at the event. I think it was 2 days after I was flying in. And the clarity and the purpose and the overarching vision and the divine blueprints associated with the dawning age and what I'm a part of and what so many of us are a part of, it just felt like it was just unfolding right in front of me. I think I actually started to cry. I was just so amazed and uplifted and excited. So I got to share that. That was amazing. You know, I was so excited, obviously, to share it in LA at that event. And synchronistically, of course, in a divine way, a friend/client of mine, Bob Belairs, had mentioned to me, as he heard I was going to LA, he lives in New York City in that area, and he's a videographer, and he said, I can't explain why, but I feel led to come to LA and film everything. Film you at your booth, film you at the presentation, and whatever else we feel led towards. So his filming, he had two cameras and an audio person, we filmed the presentation that I shared, and then we also sat down for about 45 minutes where I was with a friend of mine that supported me in that event, Sandy Post, and we were just sitting there just talking, totally unprepared, totally unrehearsed, in terms of an analytical and lack of preparation, just letting it all be divinely led and divinely inspired. And he went back to New York City and edited it, and it became a documentary for us that we've been sharing called The Platinum Age, Creating the New Earth.
Well, you know, sometimes when you just film things at the moment, at the spur of the moment, sometimes it works out the best because the realism of it just, you know, hits you right in the face really quick and go, wow, this is happening and someone's filming it. And is this where you start talking about timelines, expanding timelines and creating timelines? Is that where that first started happening for you? And tell us more about how timelines are created.
Okay. I can't actually recall in linear time when I started talking about that. To me, the newness about what I shared in February of 2012 was more about these overarching blueprints and how all of this shifting of the age, if you will, was coming together so divinely. And it helped me really make sense of all of the different truths and beliefs and facets of spirituality and ufology and all of these different things. It's almost like when you have that overarching understanding, it helps you make sense of everything in a way that you can see the divinity and the purpose in all facets of what has happened, is happening, and will happen. So it's like this decoder ring that's hard to even explain. The timelines information that they show me, I actually shared a workshop on this in September of last year, around September of 2012, called Galactic Time Travelers, because it's been shown to me for a couple of years now that we actually are travelers from the future, many of us that chose to incarnate specifically at this time in order to tweak and adjust some of the energies, patterns, frequencies, DNA reparations, bloodline restoration, etc., so that we could actually have an even brighter future, if you will. We do this constantly. We're going back and forth in timelines. The only linear time is here and in other associated physical realities. So in quantum time, you can incarnate backwards, forwards, present, multiple times at the same time, et cetera. So shifting timelines is something where we're basically doing that, where as galactic time travelers, we're more adjusting the energies by incarnating or popping into incarnations and adjusting things. It's kind of like tweaking a car so that it runs smoother, or just an adjustment based on different starseed, I want to use the word goals or purposes for a specific experiment or program. And I use that in a positive way, not in a negative way. but creating timelines, this is something that's been newly revealed to me just over the past couple months, that actually some of us, in terms of the pioneering role that we really feel within ourselves, that the dreams that we hold for humanity and specific ways of experiencing the physical realms of Earth, is being adjusted to such a degree that it's more than a tweak. It is actually bringing online new timelines so that a new version of humanity, what I call the divine human, can be experienced. And it's experienced by bringing it online for ourselves.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, you're talking about the timelines and how different they are in different places. You know, when we go to the Tetons, you may be gone 45 minutes, but
mm-hmm.
it's 2 weeks there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So it's very hard to try to describe that to a lot of people, how that time shift changes. It's like I came back one time and I had seen colors that were not on this planet, and
mm-hmm.
somebody said, well, describe them to us. And I said, I can't. I don't have a reference. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like we have the primary colors here, but I saw colors that are different than the colors that we have here. So therefore, I never could explain the colors that I saw.
Yeah. Yep.
It's that kind of thing.
Yes. The Teton meetings and all of the different galactic summits and things like that that occur relative to, I want to say, earthly matters and earthly affairs, is a fascinating concept, and it is very real. I can see when I'm meeting with someone in a private session, for example, the different opportunities that they have either created for themselves or that they had originally had in their blueprint or soul signature, and based on free will and the different choices and different timelines that they're choosing to operate within, that affects what is going on for the collective. There are some facets of the overall human experience that are so important that if somebody, based on their free will, is saying, well, you know what, I've got a lot of other things I'm really excited about right now, so I know that that's an opportunity, this is all super consciously, right? But at these meetings, what happens is that some of these folks that may have become more interested in something else, that other than another part of their opportunity, those opportunities get reassigned, and that helps ensure that the overall divine blueprints stay on course.
That's so absolutely correct. You said it absolutely beautifully.
Thank you.
By the way, I know the meetings, you know, they're January and July, not June, but I've noticed all this month I'm waking up with more shot marks on my thumbs. I've got shot marks on my shoulders, down around my ankles. I'm getting these, you know, funny marks that I haven't had before, so... It looks like there's been an extension of a lot of work that's being done out of body, in body. I'm not quite sure because, of course, I asked deliberately not to remember. I can't function every day if I happen to remember everything that happens at night. So now I'd like to turn our questions more toward what are your views of the ETs and their roles relative to humanity?
What I see is that the support systems that we have from various non-human forms of life that appear in the physical sometimes in the form of UFOs or alien beings that appear in your bedroom or something like that, or the pop-in sorts of shape-shifting that may happen when you're interacting with someone and it just feels like another energy has joined their experience and is communicating with you in some way. That there is a large degree of support relative to the alien and ET races. But it's important, I think, to remember, and I was welcoming this opportunity to share my perspective on this, that there are spans of energy or dimensional ranges even in non-human life. And I think that sometimes from our humanness, especially from the separation age that we're coming out of, it's easy to be, I wouldn't say impressed, by the technology that's demonstrated by these ETs that are manifesting physical form and in their spacecraft and those sorts of things. When I asked my team, because sometimes I feel like there's a bit of a disempowerment that can happen for humans that seem to be, I don't want to say idolizing or worshiping, but somehow feeling like as a human they must be less than these ET forms or something that could operate in a UFO, that somehow in our limited way of being human and our associated technology and perceived manipulation, et cetera, that happens in a separation age, that's the way separation ages work, that we sometimes give away our power and we even further disassociate it from the sovereignty that's now available to us. So when I was asking my team about this, they said, well, remember that in order to shift an age, for humanity and for the planet, it's the life forms on the planet that assist in that. So in order to expand what's available in terms of the physical realms, not just from the third dimension, but into the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, even up to the 12th dimensional energy patterns while remaining in the physical, you guys are the ones with that assignment, not anyone that would visit you or spy on you or check in on you. And I said, well, why do we forget that? And they said, because you're so fascinated by the shiny objects in the sky. And I started to laugh, and I said, well, we need help. I need to, and others need to hopefully help remind us of that, that it's from within our human experience. We're the ones that incarnated as humanity to transform the human form, to upgrade what it means to be human, to reunify humanity with its sovereignty, to access those divine codes, to repair the DNA, to clear the bloodlines, if you will, and work with the bloodlines that you've chosen to work with, that to me is almost even more exciting than considering what in other ways Source Creator is experiencing itself that we obviously are not choosing at this time. Does that make sense, Lavendar?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, the next question is, what is your conscious awareness of some of the programs underway related to human bloodlines?
Oh, I'm going to have to be quiet on this one because when I was writing on the questions, that one just kind of came right through as interdimensional communication. And I was like, well, me as Jill, I haven't talked about that yet. They're like, I know, it's going to be new. Isn't this fun? So let me just be quiet for a moment while I access that. Okay. One of the primary differences between this age and previous other ascension cycles is the opportunity for literally every bloodline of humanity, all aspects of DNA related to life on Earth, to be reunified with its sovereign codes, its inherent divinity. So in order to do that, this is a very unique ascension cycle in which what some would call starseeds or avatar consciousness intentionally and divinely incarnated into all bloodlines, all races, all cultures, all nationalities, all economic backgrounds, all genders, all eye color, all hair color, and with multiple starseed lineage, so that this restoration could truly be a representative of the galactic highest vibrations available that were interested in humanity at this time.
Oh, you said that so beautiful. That was just, wow.
I have God bumps all over me.
I mean, I really saw exactly what you were saying, and it was like the weaving of the tapestry. I was looking at it, you know, like hanging up on the wall, the pictures that were coming to me as you were saying that, unified field, you know, the zero point energy being affected to the 33 power points on the planet, the grid, the people. And I saw a lot of beings leaving the planet as you were talking. Mm. It's like I saw a lot of bloodlines that won't be here anymore.
Yeah.
And new ones coming, and it was quite a show that I saw as you were speaking. I have to laugh at this next question. Do you consider yourself a starseed? What? Of course
I do. That one's such a fun one for me because I think sometimes, I know for me even, there was a point in my experience when I felt like to be a starseed meant that you're from somewhere else. And then at one point I realized no one's from Earth. In the way that I experienced divine energy, no one was originally. Earth is an experiencing place. It's not a soul or incarnation creation place. That happens on different expanded dimensions that relate to then the where you incarnate. So I said, well, no one's from here. Not even Gaia is from here. It's a consciousness that experiences itself as our planetary being, Earth. And as I started to explore that idea, I realized that also I was limiting myself in terms of trying to project a human 3D timeline on my soul's timeline. Because they told me before, and I knew for myself, that our souls are infinite. So if our souls are infinite, then that means there was no beginning and that there is no end. So I no longer look at a projection of my human experience like a birthplace and a birth time or a chronological age to my soul's experience or my highest self's experience. And that for me was a huge expansion because I allowed such a broader range of energy patterns and associated wisdom into my personal energy field as a result of that adjustment in my truth and belief. So now when I meet with people and we talk about their lineage, quote-unquote, it's more about their Stargate travels and what sorts of starseed-associated energy patterns or ambassador roles that they are clearly connected with in their incarnation that they're experiencing at this time.
Yes, I totally agree. I would like to ask you, how does your bloodline family resonate to what you're doing? Do you have support from your family here, your bloodline family, or are they in awe of what you're doing, saying, "Oh goodness, don't look at her"? What's going on with that?
It's probably a little bit more of the, "Oh, don't look at her," but not in a disdainful way, just lack of resonance. And it's interesting because I know even with a close family member, I was at the beginning of one of my activations where I was just turning on these switches and remembering more of who and what I am as an eternal being. I was recognizing that a close family member wasn't really interested in what I was doing. So as I was doing practice intuitive sessions for that first year and really regaining my skills that I obviously had as my highest self, I wanted that person to be interested and ask about, well, you know, how did your sessions go? How did it go? And they weren't asking me. And it was funny because it's my husband, by the way. My team's like, "Why are you being so secretive about this? I don't know." And I was joking. My team was kind of teasing me a little bit. They said, "Well, you didn't ask how his favorite football team did. Didn't they have playoffs or something last week?" And I kind of thought about it for a minute. I was like, "Yeah, his team had playoffs last week. Well, how did they do?" And I said, "I don't know." And they said, "Well, don't you care? Don't you love him?" And I started to laugh. And I said, "I'm just not interested in that." And they said, "Does it make you love him any less that you're not interested in what he's interested in?" And I said, "No." And he said, and they basically said, "You can make as big of a deal out of this as you want to, Jill. But if you're going to wait for everyone in your life to be supportive of this new and expanded version of you, you could have a very lonely life."
Wow.
And I said, I don't choose that. So I choose to accept my family exactly as they are. And I offer what I am. I don't push anything down anyone's throats, but I also don't... I don't look for opportunities to fix them either, because I really honor who and what they are. Unconsciousness is still an opportunity here. And there are beings that are still incarnated that are here to experience unconsciousness. I honor that free will.
Well, here's the thing, Jill. If they're in your energy field, they're going to get it one way or the other.
They seem to be pretty happy for the most part.
There's no escaping your light, okay?
it's all good. You know, we can experience so many things consciously or unconsciously. It really is all good. For me, it really relieved a lot of my stress and pressure, and I love to work with people on that, because we do have a lot of expectations that, especially in our intimate relationships or romantic relationships, that they have to be at the same level we are. Well, what does that mean? Because unconsciously, that doesn't mean that they're not vibrationally reaching amazing levels of access. They're just not doing it consciously.
Yeah, and that puts you into judgment. And the minute you put yourself into judgment, you stop your own growth, because judgment will stop it right dead in its tracks.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I know for those of us on our path, it's just it is mind-boggling in some ways. To even consider that some people really aren't here to be interested in all the things that just make our hearts sing. But it is true. that's part of the crazy and coolness about Earth, is that we all just inhabit side by side with what makes our own hearts sing.
Yeah, I know. So tell us about your services and support that you offer, and give us again your website.
Okay. So the website is called www.theplatinumage.com. So theplatinumage.com. And at this point, my services include, obviously, intuitive sessions. I also offer regular gifted webinars, online classes, remembering workshops is what I call them. And then I have a retreat coming up actually in September in Park City, Utah. There's only 4 spots left. And I'm really excited about that. That's just 20 people. It's a very intimate group. And in meditation, even this morning, they were showing me some of the activities that we will be involved with there. And I'm just beyond excited. It involves the Vatican. So we're gonna turn on some switches and re-harness some energy that's been, let's say, locked away in museums. So I'm really, really excited about that. And overall, what I offer and what really makes me incredibly joyful in my service to others is helping them see and feel and identify with the sovereignty of who they are. That's what's been forgotten. That's what we've been separated from by design. And I know that also is hard to imagine that we would do this to ourselves. And there's so many different beliefs and stories and timelines that help us create a version of the separation age that helps us understand it. And yet the opportunity, literally, to experience yourself in a way where you forget your God, there aren't many places you can do that, but Earth is one of them. And yet now it's time to reunify with our sovereignty so that we can set in motion other ways of experiencing energy and divine free will and conscious creation that we feel better about than maybe than what we have been experiencing over the past 26,000 years or more. So that is also divine, and I love to help people with that. There's a natural activation process that happens in the sharing, whether it's, you know, one-to-many in a public setting or one-on-one in a private session. But helping them see their God-given abilities and helping them access them, giving them tools and techniques, helping them see relationships and their lives from a cosmic perspective so that they can further expand beyond judgment or bitterness or roadblocks and self-limiting beliefs and truths is really something that it feels so good to me, and to see the effect it's had on the clients that I have around the planet has been so rewarding. And, you know, you tell somebody, or you help them see, I share with them that they're a natural healer, and a year later they have a website and they're, you know, they're totally accessing their healing abilities. And I was probably not the first person that told them that, but I get to be part of that team that basically says, do you remember that you brought this with you? And then to see them trust themselves in that process, God, it makes me want to cry again. It's so exciting.
Oh, yes. And, you know, as I'm listening to you, I realize that in your voice print, it is uplifting and activating the silent starseed DNA activation in their blood.
Yes.
You do that when you talk to people. I recognize
yes.
it in you. In other words, it's almost like you have a universal library card
yes.
that you're handing them, saying, here, don't you remember how to access the library of all that is? That's
exactly.
what you're doing.
Exactly. And everything, I remember from the moment I started sharing intuitive sessions, they said, you've got to record everything. When I say they, of course, I mean my team in the highest realms that supports me and that I'm an animation of as I perceive it. I said, why do I have to record everything? And they said, number one, we're asking you to, and it's you asking you to. They said, Jill, there's so many layers to what you are accessing. It's most humans can only access a couple of those layers. So every time they hear it, they're going to access another dimensional component of the energy and associated activations that you're offering. When you record it, they have that ability to access it again and again and again. Everything that you share publicly, make sure there's a record of what it was so that the timelessness of it is kept intact.
Yes, that happens for me. I know that people sometimes tell me that they listen to the recording I send them, they wait 6 months and hear it again, hear something totally different, and
yes.
then they'll play it again for the third time,
yes.
and then they get, wow, I really got it now. It's like, you're right. It is kind of like a time release capsule of information.
And if you think about it, it's such a hallmark of an interdimensional set of energies, or interdimensional communication in this case, because that's what it is. There are so many layers to it that depending on what you need at that time, it behaves in a quantum manner. What the perceiver is seeing is affecting what is shown, what is offered by the universe that loves you and wants to support you and wants to see your dreams in your joy, in your bliss, personally experienced in your life.
Yeah, you said it so well. I have enjoyed so much talking with you, but I'm going to turn it over now to Arielle, and she's going to see if there's anyone on the switchboard that may want to ask you some questions. So
wonderful.
We'll talk later, Jill.
Thanks,
Arielle.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
Jill, as you were talking, I was coming up with this question that maybe because it's just something that we come across a lot in our sessions, and just interested to have your input. When people perceive a blockage of something is keeping me from doing this, or something is holding me back, or something keeps, you know, interfering. Have you had those kind of experiences with clients, and what was your comment, solution, or advice on that? About the people that perceive some, you know, block or an obstacle, and it almost seems like they're so focused on the obstacle that they can't get around it.
Yes, exactly. And it's not only from work with clients, but obviously in my own journey, I have those experiences too, where I just feel like, you know, I know I want this. What energy pattern am I holding on to in my own life, or what am I seeing in my client's journey where they are somehow keeping themselves in the status quo, in this loop, where for some reason they can't expand out of it? And what I find very, very often is that another layer of perspective is often enough, like a hand of God literally reaching you out of that downward spiral, or just a status quo spiral, where it's not necessarily going down, but it's not really going up either. It's just keeping you at the same status quo. But it's a thick enough loop, or a rigid enough thought pattern or belief system, that keeps you in that dimension or in that state of energy. So what I often am looking for myself and on behalf of my clients is, what's another way to look at this, where it is like that hand of God from within reaching into ourselves, helping us expand back into that upward spiral energy that we enjoy so much. Sometimes it's something so subtle. I think of relationships. A lot of humans have very challenging relationships with parents or siblings or children or whatever the case may be. So let's take the example of a mother and a daughter that have this turmoil that's been basically lifelong. And when I'm with the client and they're saying, my mom just drives me nuts. She's such a worrywart. She's constantly criticizing me. She's self-critical. She's critical of everyone else. She's just judging all the time. So I ask her team on her behalf, what can we do to help here? And in many instances, and there's one particular example I'm thinking of, where basically the highest self of that mother came in, and she basically said, I'm terrified of everything. And she gave so many examples of instances that came across as critical and judgmental, where she literally was terrified. She was in fear for her daughter. She was in fear for herself. She just lives in fear. And to muster up any strength, she takes it down the road of criticism and judgment, because that's where she feels safe. It keeps everybody from progressing, which to her is safer than moving forward from her conscious experience. So her highest self's non-judgmental perception of what is going on from the animation known as this client's mother, the client started to cry. I was crying. I'm almost crying now. And I said, no, I feel compassion for your mom right now. How about you? And she was just weeping. I mean, she had put down her sword in the battle. And now she could look at her mom with a sense of love and that divine compassion that our guides, our teams have for us. And that's what she was accessing, was the vibration that our teams, our source creator self, have for ourselves, and she was able to access that for her mom, and that changed everything. It may not immediately or ever change her mom based on her mom's choices, but her mom wasn't the client, she is.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
It's so powerful. It seems so subtle, and yet it is so, it's literally game changing.
Right, and it seems to me that you helped your client find a higher level of grace.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, the irritation.
Yes.
When you can help a client find a higher level of grace.
Yes.
Which includes tolerance and understanding and compassion.
Exactly.
And
yes.
And seeing through the other person's eyes as you helped her see the fear
Yeah.
And, you know, and I guess in retrospect, that would make me feel really grateful that that was not my reality. You know, like thank God that I'm not gripped with fear all the time like that.
Kind of gives it, you a, seriously. Yeah.
You know,
so
a little higher state of gratitude.
Yes. I totally agree. And it turned out in this client's case that actually that was one of the contracts/opportunities that she and her mom had, and one of the reasons that they chose each other as one as the mother and one as the daughter is that this daughter was just, she was just born with this amazing sense of independence and inner strength and knowing what she wanted and really aligning herself energetically with what she wanted. So it almost was annoying to her that her mom wasn't capable of doing that same thing. So when we realize that we're the example, perhaps, for another person, and it doesn't even feel like we're working at it because it comes so darn easy, because that's mm-hmm. what we wired ourselves up to do.
Right, and because it was its natural state for the daughter to feel
yeah.
strong and independent. That those
right.
kind of things we can take for granted.
Yeah.
That, well, you know, it's easy for me, so why isn't it easy for someone else?
Right, yeah.
And yeah, yeah, it's honoring your own natural state, being grateful
yeah.
that you chose what you chose, and everyone has that ability to choose
right.
a higher level of grace when it comes to, you know, other people who seem to be throwing up blocks or at least speed bumps anyway.
Right, yes. The other thing that's, I mean, another layer of this is, of course, the genetic aspect of it, because the daughter is the bloodline, if you will, of the mother. She's carrying on the genes of her parents. And yet, by that soul signature of this daughter incarnating the way she did, she was already in reparation mode, restoring the divine genetic codes of the human divine genome, if you will, that had been intentionally, if you will, shut off for the separation age to be experienced. In other words, in a separation age, what happens is that there is damage done to the DNA. Both a cause and effect of the separation age. You can't experience yourself separate from your God self if you have the divine human vehicle working as it was originally intended. So it has to have switches, basically, that are turned off. So when a soul signature like this client comes in and she chooses parents like she did, she is automatically doing a clearing of the genetic codes that then are changed and altered, not just presently and forward, but actually in a quantum manner in all ways. It's fascinating to think about.
Well, it's the power of perception.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, 10 people can look at one thing and see 10 different things.
Yes.
And the ability to alter your perception is as easy as changing your mind. You know, look at it
yeah.
another way. Yeah.
And Ariel, if you think about it this way, changing our mind about something or choosing to expand your perspective or have a broader interpretation that feels more in alignment with your divine self, to me, is one of the most underestimated abilities in terms of God creator power that's here on the planet right now. To just decide that something isn't your truth anymore because it feels self-limiting, because it feels like it's more honoring of separation and downward spiraling energies, is a very, very powerful opening for what I call our God self to basically join your consciousness from within and basically offer another perception or another truth or belief or thought related to the same set of facts that had led to the downward spiraling interpretation.
Well, it's like you said, it's an effort of will, it's your divine right to
yes.
to be able to, let's walk around to the back and take a look at it from that side and see if how it looks different, you know.
Right.
We all have that ability. And
yes.
unfortunately, sometimes people have to get into a, you know, state of desperation
right.
before they're willing to let go of one thing and take a look at something else.
Yes. I mean, I think about that just in the story of my awakening that I was sharing earlier, that my life was great, and I had one business opportunity and another business opportunity, and I offered another perspective to be shared with me through, in this case, the psychic. It could have been many people, but the time that I chose was this beautiful woman, and she shared with me another version of what was going on. And I remember leaving that meeting thinking, what I thought was so life or death doesn't even matter.
Right.
The facts didn't change. My interpretation was totally flipped around. We do that with everything. We do that with so many different things where we get kind of we throw ourselves under the bus by our perceptions and beliefs. And sometimes I do it too. I forget that I'm doing it, and all of a sudden I feel all contracted and small again. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't my chosen state of being. What am I doing? And then I kind of pause and I take a breath and I let myself choose another conscious way of responding versus somehow inhabiting this unconscious loop that must still be available to me. And I realize, oh, yeah, I let that little blip become quite a little meaningful tangent there, but I'm back. Okay, let's regroup.
Right, it's a little speck of iron filings on the rail, and it makes the train go, whoa, wait a minute, I wasn't supposed to take that turn.
Exactly. Or this turn I could do, but I don't like it as well.
Right. I also get a lot of questions and emails where people are, I say, almost desperately looking for the popular term these days is twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to hear your views on, number one, what you think of a twin flame might be, and is it really our soul's imperative to find that person?
I'm using caution for myself as Jill, because I don't intend to be dishonoring of anyone's truths or anyone's beliefs. I really do believe that as creator beings, we have an amazing ability to create our reality here, and sometimes we forget that power. The concept of twin flame or twin soul doesn't resonate with me personally. And I asked my team why, because it is so popular. And they basically showed me that it is one way for humanity to experience itself, where it considers that there's another part of itself that it needs to meet in the physical, or needs to bring harmony to in the physical in order to feel its wholeness. One of the ways that my creating timeline support and creator ability comes in, for me, as I interpret it, is that we are actually a whole being, and that I know for me and most of the people that I work with, I actually don't even see in our record where there ever was a split of the type of storyline that I've come across in terms of an interpretation of what a twin soul or a twin flame is. For me, there's no split, and maybe it's possible that the twin flame, twin soul ideology, if you will, or way of incarnating was another facet of the separation age, and that maybe that reunification from their perspective is partly why they're so excited about it. And I also wonder if the ability to feel the wholeness that I see when I meet with people and I check into their soul signature and what's going on is available no matter what type of an experience you have had or are having as a soul. To me, the wholeness and the oneness and the unification, if you will, of our human experience with our God self is, and I'm going to be really clear when I say this, it is never dependent on what another human does or does not do. To me, that automatically associates us with timelines that are beyond our control, and that is not why I'm here. I mean, like, on the planet here.
That's very well said. Very, very well said.
Thank you. I get it and I support it and I totally honor it. And yet, if when somebody asks me that in a session, I'm kind of like, oh, how do I want to go here? Because I'm not trying to burst a bubble or anything like that, but I just want to make sure they understand that there's another way of looking at who and what they are as an eternal being, and that that's available to every single human on the planet whenever they're ready.
That's right, and I had asked a similar question, or the topic came up in a conversation I had with another good friend of ours named Meg Benedicte, and she put it almost, not word for word, but the same thing that you just said, is that because we all have a male and female half, so, for example, living as a female this time, your male half is there, but not in your Earth personality. And when you meet another person whose signature, whose frequency is close enough to your own male frequency, it ignites that, and you think that other person is the twin flame, when it's actually just a close enough mirror to the other half of you that you're not dominant with at the moment. So then the mistake is made that assigning outside of yourself that this other person is your other half, and that can go one way or the other as far as up spiral or down spiral. But that's basically what you just said. It's the expression, you are a whole being, but living as a female, there's a need for this contact, and it is the drive for the reunification, for the unity consciousness to include that.
Yes.
So, you know, finding two whole people that have enough resonance between them to walk the path together is way better and more powerful than having two half people that you know to make up a whole person. So that is very much in alignment with the way I look at it, and Meg and you as well. So it's not hung up on.
Yeah. Relationships are really, really, there's a big opportunity for all of our relationships to really be updated and upgraded as we really expand into a more unified, stabilized vessel of light, if you will, in our humanness. I talked a little bit about this in one of the later sessions of the online class series that I offer on healthy relationships, that what you described is very, maybe even the same words as how I used it, that finding another being that happens to demonstrate a complementary energy pattern in exactly what they are right now, not what they have potential in being, not what you can fix them into being, or not what you make together, but in their wholeness, as their human expression, as they're choosing to be, that's a complement to who you are right now. Those are the healthiest relationships that I'm seeing that we can have at this time.
Absolutely. That reminds me of words of wisdom that Lavendar told me a long, long time ago. I mean, like close to 20 years ago, when you are having a relationship or pondering beginning a relationship, the three questions you ask is, number one, are they a project? In other words, are you trying to make them into what you think their potential is, or you know, fix them up in some way? Are they a project? And how do you feel when they go away?
Right.
I was like, oh, okay, now I can, you know, go do what I want to do. And the third thing is, do they have the same goals? You know, and those are questions, depending on your answers, will tell you whether or not it will be a successful relationship. So thank you, Lavendar. I don't even know if you remember telling me that.
very wise words.
Yeah, the wise woman. So, well, Jill, we do have a caller with a question, and anyone else on the switchboard, if you do have a question for Jill, you'll need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And we are going to be talking to Ralph. Hello, Ralph. You are on the air with Jill Renee Feeler. Welcome.
Hello. Hi. I hope I have a good connection.
You do.
I dropped once. It was such a great show. And, Jill, I was taken aback by your description of the twin flame. That's a kind of different twist on it from what I've previously thought about. It's really interesting and noteworthy. I'm going to go back and do it again because I think it's so fascinating. But I was wondering, in your experience with, I'm called channeling, you call it interdimensional conversations.
Yeah.
Okay. I had brought up the fact that maybe in doing this kind of communication that sometimes you invite other entities that you don't want. What is your process for kind of filtering out those that are positive and those that are negative? Is there something that you do to assure that you don't allow those don't in?
Yeah. And I'll thank you for your question, Ralph. And it was funny because I was actually hoping you'd call in with a question, because when I've heard the show before as a listener, I've always appreciated your questions. So this was fun. I have a lot of honor for you, Ralph. First, let me just clarify why I use the distinction between channeling versus interdimensional communication. As I've heard the term channeling used, it seemed to imply that the energy that's being brought forth from the human communication vessel is separate from the human, separate from their highest self, a totally foreign being, if you will, that they have no natural relationship with. And it's become clear to me, in my experience, that the highest frequencies that I'm accessing are me. They're not separate from me. So I call them like the guardian council of the golden ray, because to me it's an appropriate term that to me appropriately and satisfactorily signifies the energy frequency of what I'm bringing in. And it's broad range of beings, really infinite beings that I want to say vibrate or choose to operate energetically at that level of the golden ray or beyond, or any other associated I want to say color frequencies, but it's not literally colors, but energy patterns that are associated with, and here's my kind of criteria, is it loving of me and loving of humanity? Is it non-judgmental? Is it honoring my free will and the free will of humanity? Does it feel like it's expansive and upward spiraling in terms of what is taking place in the earthly planes at this time? Based on the way that I energetically am wired as Jill, I tend to not get a lot of any, but it's best not to be emphatic in these situations. But most of the energies that I've accessed really from the beginning of my activation have been extremely loving, extremely high vibration in that way of accessing source creator wisdom, knowledge, etc. If I were to upload a message that was basically like, you know, Jill, watch out for that group, you know, they want to do bad things, I would be knowing that I'm on a channel that is not my home channel. If I were on a channel that said that one group was better than another, that there was superiority, I would know that I'm on a vibrational level that's not my home channel. Does that make sense, Ralph?
Yes. I kind of understand that, and I'm just wondering, now, when you open yourself up to do the communication, do you have total control as to what you try to communicate with you?
I'm conscious. Yep. So I'm a conscious experiencer, and it is me. The way that this is kind of a mind-boggling idea for some, but the way that they showed it to me is that actually my highest self is a member of these councils in the galactic realms, and that when I chose to incarnate, I'm incarnating not just as one soul. I am an incarnated being that's accessing energies beyond one soul. And in my truth, that is true of all ascended masters, unless they're on vacation, avatar consciousnesses, that that's kind of a hallmark of who and what we are, is that in some ways it allows us to be who and what we are. And that's why so many that are associated, for example, with the Christed consciousness are very, they feel a strong connection, not just with one incarnated being, but we tend to feel a connection with many different ascended masters, et cetera. And based on my truth system, it's actually because we are a representation of many of them. Now, that also goes along the lines of, I don't feel like Jesus was one soul. I don't feel like Mary Magdalena was one soul, that they were also an animation of a collection of highest or source creator energies that chose to, if you will, work as one in one human incarnation. And there's many, I mean, it's obviously going to be a very multidimensional experience, a lot of wisdom to share, a lot of energy accessible to that human expression, et cetera. So there's a lot of different ways I could go with your answer or with answering your question, but that I felt like that was important to share that, because I do find more and more of the people that resonate with my work actually really identify with that concept that they're more than one soul that they're accessing in their human journey. So to me, it doesn't feel like I'm driving the car with a blindfold on and somebody else is talking. It is me. And I mean, you even heard it, I think, earlier here where I said I'm, as Jill, expressing caution. And I've done that before on my gifted webinar where I'm just kind of like, wait a minute, we need to be careful here. Because I can see, I mean, that's part of my gift as being the human one, is that I get to tap into, some people may misunderstand if we say it this way. Or, you know, and I can't control that, but I want to do my very best as the master communicator role I have to do my very best to make sure that what we offer is an opportunity for people to consider, not dictating or dogmatically offering the truth as if somebody else's truth isn't equally valuable to them.
Yes, that's very interesting. It's amazing how deep you are on these concepts, considering you've only been in for a few years.
Right. Remember, though, that once you open that doorway to the divine wisdom, you're beyond chronological time. So your human experience starts to be superseded dramatically by, if you will, your soul's experience or your divine experience. And when you literally are accessing infinite wisdom, it is timeless. So that's important to consider, because then it's not a matter of how long somebody's been doing it, because I feel like we will, based on the amazing work so many Starseeds and lightworkers, or whatever term we want to use, have been doing since over the past decades, they've amped up the frequency such that folks like me, it's easier for me when it is my divine time to just turn on the switches and go, versus having to go through the same linear process that others had to go through when they were switching on switches, when it was a much different process then. So we're all benefiting and supporting each other in that process. The other layer of that's important is the young people. So I would encourage people to consider that it's not about how long they've been accessing their divine consciousness. It's about how expanded and how much they feel their love and their light and their divine wisdom and their being, not how long they've been doing it or how old they are. Because I know in my own children and a lot of other children that I get to work with through my work or just my experience as Jill have amazing levels of light, love, and consciousness. So that isn't uniquely for any specific age or any certain longevity of career. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that one again, too. It resonates so well, what you said, although I can't remember what you said. I've got to...
But you felt it, right? That's what this is about.
Oh, yeah.
It's feeling it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
We're beyond the mind waves. I said we're beyond the mind waves. It's that heart-to-heart kind of energetic exchange where we're kind of handing each other gifts back and forth.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the processing of the mind sometimes takes a little longer. I'm right there with you on that one. Even though we both have strong minds, I can tell.
It's been really a joyful pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to listening to more of what you have to say, and back and listen to this information in the archives, too. So,
thank you. Ralph, you're a very wise being. I hope for you and for all of us that you're accessing that more and more. You have a lot of wisdom, brother.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're
welcome. That was a golden nugget I didn't expect. Okay.
I have goosebumps.
All right, have a nice night. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks, Ralph. Bye-bye. Okay. The next caller, we are going to be talking to Kim. Hi, Kim. You're on the air with Renee, Jill Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hello.
Hi, Kim.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I feel so very blessed to be on the line with you, Jill. My name is Kim, and I follow you, and I also follow Lavender. I totally resonate with everything you say. My question, and, you know, I've been just meditating for a moment on this. It was funny. The last time I had my blood work done, the doctors all, the first thing the lab called and said, oh, you need to be on a low cholesterol diet, which is kind of funny. I've been a vegan most of my life.
Uh-huh.
And they couldn't relate to my blood work at all. I had one doctor come into the room and say, and I said, and so 2 weeks later, after I was trying a low cholesterol diet, 2 weeks later, and I walked, the doctor walked into the room to try to explain my blood work and said that my high cholesterol is so high that I'll never fit into normal blood work and to get over it. And so I have this, like, I think a connection somewhere. I went willingly. I can't say I was abducted when I was young. And so they come and talk to me quite often. And mm-hmm. so I'm very proud to be in conversation with you now. I followed you, Lavender and Jill. I follow you both. When I found you both, I knew that there was somebody on the planet that could understand me. And so I really don't have a question, but do you have something for me?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay, first, Kim, I feel this cosmic sibling thing with you, and I'm just loving that you shared that blood work experience, because I remember a couple years ago on the Blog Talk Radio show, I was laughing that I had blood work done just for a routine exam, and I was joking with the audience that I said, it will really be fun one day when the doctor walks in and said, you've got crystals in your blood. You know, we have to do experiments on you, and then we can quietly grab our purse and say, no, thanks, we're good, you know, and walk out. So I'm just laughing at that you're manifesting that right now, that maybe not the crystals in the blood, but it reminds me, because there was a friend of mine that was really concerned because some of her different, just overall levels were off, as she put it, quote unquote, they were off. And I think it was a homeopathic expert that was helping her with it, or a homeopathist, or however you want to, whatever term you want to use there. And she said, well, my levels are off. And I quickly kind of looked at her, and I just kind of smiled, and I said, relative to what? And
well, we
she
only,
just
in
smiled.
In my family, we only live to be over 100. So,
The fact that your numbers weren't even chartable
<They're>
based
not.
On the norms. And I do feel like more of us will be kind of going through these experiences where something is determined to be off. And I would really encourage all of us to really ask ourselves, off relative to what? Off
Thank
relative
you.
To someone that is living in a stressed out, existence where they're separate from their God essence. We are affecting the human body. So I don't want to deny medicine or ignore medicine altogether, but I do feel like that discernment for ourselves of, but how are we feeling? I've had, cycles that are totally off, off normal and all those things, and I'm always asking myself, but how do I feel? Do I feel good? Do I have any other health-related symptoms that I feel like I need to be concerned about? And typically my answer is no, I feel amazing. So you see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of things that aren't working in a normal rhythmic pattern, and I don't think that that's always a bad thing.
You are so sweet, and thank you so much. Cause,
you're welcome.
No, and the only thing they could, there was this one doctor that walked her into the room and said,
yeah.
So, what, do you live long lives in your family? And I started to say 101, 103, 104.
Yeah.
And so she said, that's the only time I've ever seen this blood work before. So just so you know, I did 2 weeks of a low cholesterol diet. It did not agree with me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for me. And so
do you feel good overall?
No,
energy,
I don't even look my age, and I'm getting close to 60, and nobody would even guess I was 40. So,
and I can tell in your voice
age.
Pattern. Yeah, that's good.
There is no
good
age.
Stuff. We are really defying age and what happens at what age.
And I just would want to say, lavender, I guess I just recently learned about a star seed. And so I looked at my chart, and I've got like 5 planets or something within that range. And I'm really happy to be here, and I follow you very closely, Jill, because you really bring a lot of people. Thank you. My feet are on the ground, and thank you so much for what you share.
You're so welcome.
Me feel that I'm not that weird. I'm really okay.
No,
no matter what the doctors say.
you're way more than okay. And by the way, I love how you developed the connection with your team again and the support system from the from the Starship experience and all of those things. I love that so many of us there are a group of us that have specific experiences of being on ship and conscious awareness of it or visited, et cetera. And, I remember playing with these beings as a child, and I just felt like they were imaginary friends that would show up the minute my family went to sleep and I was alone in bed. And it was kind of like, okay, now we're going to leave this reality and we're going to turn on the switches of the other reality. Anybody ready to go home? I just remember that feeling. To me, I didn't require that they manifested a physical form. I didn't require, or I'm not consciously aware of, the spaceship experience, but I remember that feeling of never being alone. And then we go through our human experience sometimes and we forget that, or we shut those connections down. And then now we're desperately trying to get back there. But I think it's important for us to remember that we don't have to go anywhere. We need, from right where we are right now, is turning back
on. I'm packed. I'm
totally
packed, and I am going to live on a mountain. And I can't believe how I got there. And you just hit me. You hit me totally. You're right on. And I'm giving up everything that I know, and I'm just following it. And I can't thank you enough. You just gave me the biggest gift.
Oh, Kim, you're so welcome. I've got to say, because your team is asking me to say it, their message for you about the mountains is go have fun. Those 3 words, that's it. Go have fun.
Thank you so much. Thank
You're
you
so,
so much for what you give every day. And
thank you.
And Starseed Radio as well. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks so much for calling, Kim.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, I think we're going to have 2 more callers with questions here. And next we are going to go to talk to Debbie. Hi, Debbie. You're on the air with Jill Renee.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. My question is, I feel kind of like how to move forward. I feel kind of in an in-between space right now and uncomfortable, very uncomfortable.
Oh, you're uncomfortable. Okay.
Let's see.
Can you take 2 nice deep breaths with me, please? And number 2, even slower and deeper, please. Okay. Debbie, have you felt a lot of expansion for yourself since, right around the February-March timeframe of this year, where it was like you almost couldn't get enough because there was so much being offered to you?
As in information, you mean?
More energetic expansion that you were just like, oh my gosh, this feels so good. So you may interpret it as related to information, but just feelings of expansion, which always to me means feeling more joy and more love and just more sense, less feeling controlled, less feeling, small, that you're feeling more empowered in your life.
Yes, I would say so.
there was a huge cycle that happened there for you in February and March, from what I'm being shown. And then we had that series of eclipses in April and May. And I feel like there's part of those energies that are still actually being offered to you, and even to a lot of us. So we're not even done using what that triplicate set of eclipses offered us. And then we just came out of the June solstice. So there is this huge energy ball that I feel like is sitting on top of you. And your team, from what I'm getting, is basically just saying, this is the time where you get to relax. Because the upload cycles happen, and then we have what I call integration phases. And it's funny because I'm like, no, actually, I haven't called it that before, but it's a good word. So I feel like you're in an integration phase right now, and there's purpose and divinity in that too. Have you been feeling more tired lately or irritated, maybe both? So listen to your body in terms of the just feeling, maybe not the need to sleep more, but just more physical rest, more water, more hydration, and just really just wanting to kind of stop and smell the roses, enjoy the weather on the nice days, and, you know, play with your pets if you have them, et cetera. Just really allowing that new rhythm to take place in a more stable way, because August is going to be another round of expansion for you, from what I'm feeling. So use these next, I guess, what, it's the 23rd, so these next 8 days. And they may stretch it out for you into 10 to 12 days, but by the middle of August, you're going to laugh that you asked this question, because you're going to be like, oh, my God, I'm back again. So it's important to remember, though, that we do this a lot to ourselves, is that when we've gone through this huge expansion cycle and then we're in an integration mode, it feels like we've stopped or that we've even regressed. And it's not regression. Yeah. It's integration. And that's necessary, kind of like when we're hungry and then we digest the food and then we want to eat again later. To not listen to the fact that your body is still digesting food, you know, is unhealthy. It's out of balance for us. So you're good. You're good. So just really, the other thing they're saying is that there may be some tendencies of getting irritated with yourself, or that things aren't happening as fast as you want them to. So just notice that pattern maybe of thoughts that you have, and you may want to kind of disengage it when it happens, or I want to say take over in terms of your God self coming in and saying, I know, you know, a part of me is irritated about this, but I also am going to trust. I'm choosing to trust that this too is in my divine highest good. And that will help you not have the irritated state. And then, I mean, when I have my moments like that where I'm easily irritable, I just kind of make sure that my loved ones know it's not personal, it's not them. I'm just grumpy for a few minutes here. And then I allow myself to tune back into my normal chosen ways of feeling and the ones I enjoy more. But, yeah, does that make sense?
Key people that kind of can set me off, you know?
Yeah.
And
recognize this. Yeah, because it's not them. It's that you're a match for irritation based on because they could do the same thing on one of your better moments, and they wouldn't even bother you.
Oh, okay.
See, so the power is with you.
So it's not my mother.
No. No, but she likes to think she's in control. I definitely feel in that one.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I learned a lot about healing and stuff, and then I feel like maybe that's what I'm so confused about, that I tried, and I feel like I didn't do so well. Like I failed. That's another thing that I've just, you know what I mean? I don't know if you...
I have a completely different version of that story for you. You didn't resonate, from what I'm getting, really, really truly and authentically with how you learned it, and that there's parts of the way that it was taught to you that don't resonate with you as a soul. So your team is asking you to kind of, do you have the lessons like in a physical form or video or audio or something that you can actually go back to?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
It's just different things, yeah.
Okay, so I would revisit it when you're feeling like that's something you want to do. When you're feeling led to revisit it, I would encourage you to have that way of connecting that you do so beautifully, where you feel that sense of presence within you, you feel stable, you feel centered in your light, and then go through the exercise or whatever the training was again, and basically revisit it and discern for yourself which parts feel good to you and which parts don't. I took a 2-day class on pranic healing very early on in my process. It was probably like April of 2009, I think. And there was a lot of steps and swooping and swishing and, you know, cleaning off the energy from your hands and flicking it off. And I remember practicing with my friend because she and I both did it together. And I said, every time we do this flicking, I feel like we don't need to do this and that we don't need to really do any of this part of the steps. And she looked at me and she says, well, it's not like we're Jesus. And I, of course, paused and I said, well, who says? And we both just burst out laughing because we felt that Christhood consciousness assisting us in discernment about what felt right for us to do. If somebody else feels like the flicking and the combing is necessary, that's awesome. But not everybody is going to feel it the same way.
I used those exact words when somebody was pushing me. I said, I'm not Jesus. I can't do this.
I feel the Christed energy right here, and he's laughing at you saying that. Not laughing at you in a demeaning way in any way. But in terms of, well, who says?
Okay.
Yeah. That's a huge part of this ascension cycle, truly, is us remembering that this whole idea of the second coming and the New Testament and a lot of the stories that we've been told is that Christed consciousness is owned by one person and we're not it. We were also told that, right?
Right.
That is so disempowering, and that is definitely not a part of the Platinum Age blueprints that I'm shown. Literally, that consciousness, the sovereignty within humanity is available within each and every human, and until we choose to believe that for ourselves, we don't make it real.
Okay, that's probably where I failed. You know,
I failed. I wouldn't look at it as failing. You chose another way to learn. Look at it. Yeah.
Thank you.
It was so valuable. Thanks so much, Debbie. Best wishes to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Debbie. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we have time for one more caller, and we are going to be talking to area code 813. 817, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello,
you're
Jill.
Welcome.
It's Fran.
Hi, Fran. How are you?
Great. It's been since last year.
It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, I was excited. I just automatically tuned in. I'm like, I think she's on tonight. And, you know, it's that inner guidance. And I was like, click on Blog Talk.
And here we are. And you're on here too. Good job.
Yay. I was just wondering if you could touch upon current energies of what I'm really getting, at least from my experience, is being supported with these energies. I feel like I'm getting uploaded daily and integration nightly. It seems like that. Even right now, my telomeres are like buzzing. My whole body is like, but these energies seem supporting like this, I'm going to call it like a soft warrior type of energy of owning power, bringing it back, where it's been given away so much, and it's like all of a sudden starting to see everything and look at it in the eye and saying, no. But it appears to be something that I've kept from my being because I thought it was harsh or it looked mean. And now it just feels like these energies are about that are allowing me to do it, even though maybe an outward appearance looks, I'm not going to say harsh, but it's matter of fact.
Definitive,
like,
yep.
Yes. So I don't know if you could touch on something there.
Yes, so your highest self is talking also about this expansion phase that you're in right now. From what I'm being shown, started around June 22nd for you. So it actually was in June. And I know for me there's a lot of preparatory energy that happens on the councils that I participate in the highest realms prior to different other events. So the typical events and cycles don't always apply, and it's just good to keep that in mind because we do experience these in our own unique way, all of us.
Mm.
So your highest self is talking about the fact that with some of the recent, I want to say, galactic meetings that have been taking place, there was a noticeable, I want to say, energy pattern that you wanted to make available more consciously to you, and that was about what was the word that we just used a little bit ago? Just determination and that sense of knowing what you want and not being quite as concerned about how others may respond to how you do it. So it involves trusting yourself. It involves discernment about being clear about what you're open to creating and what you would like to consciously create, and then noticing where you have support and where you may not feel support, and really standing in your power in terms of, this is what I'd like to happen, and then just stating it not as a command, but as a very definitive, that was the word we used, definitive kind of declaration. There were a lot of ways that in the separation age we did misuse power. We confused empowerment with power over anyone else that didn't have their power intact yet. That hasn't gone well in other ascension cycles when we've just kind of taken that for granted and just kind of mowed over others that weren't conscious. So that to me is why free will is such a big part of what we're doing here. And some of us, I think, are more, I don't want to say sensitive, but more readily concerned or cautious about how others, either consciously or unconsciously, may respond to what we're doing, so that we can be wise about it and perhaps even have a better way of going forward or moving forward based on that assessment tool or that assessment criteria. So it's not about what others will do. It's about you recognizing that you can look ahead at what others might respond or may not respond, but still owning and claiming what you desire and what your kind of stake is in a process or in a relationship, et cetera, that not being afraid to say what you are wanting to create, not being afraid to move forward with different things. Does that make sense? We used a lot of words that were probably not needed. We went in a couple different directions.
It's all perfect. Yeah, it's, and it's all not only in my work, but in my job, like my daughter's not here all of a sudden because I've demanded respect. I've demanded, you're an adult now. I demand these things, definitive, not in an overpowering, like you stated.
Right.
But now, you know, as a mother who's also, you know, kind of like, oh, wow, did I bite off a little bit harsh? And then I get this warm knowing is, no, it is right, because she has agreed upon some form of, to help her move on, because otherwise it's always this engagement.
Right. And her egoic reaction, of course, may not be all warm and fuzzy, but the highest self-reaction that I'm feeling is that this was a necessary kind of shift in the relationship, because it's necessary for her to, for her own expansion, really. There was a lot of codependency there that wasn't serving either one of you, from what I can see.
Yes, and I can feel that. In these energies, as they move forth for all of us, it feels like we're ramping up. So you did mention August. So this is going to play out for most everyone who can feel it or who can see it, kind of thing.
In terms of August? Is that what you're saying? I felt it for Debbie. You've been going through an upward cycle. Your expansion, and I know we need to wrap it up, your expansion process was continuing into June and July, so I feel like you and Debbie might be off cycle a little bit. Your next expansion cycle, from what I'm seeing, is more October.
Oh, okay.
So August may feel a little bit more relaxed for you. Okay? Fran, it's so good to talk with you again.
Namaste to you.
Love and blessings, and namaste to you as well.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow. Jill, we have just flown through 2 hours talking about flipping timelines and dimensions. I can't believe we're just 2 minutes here from wrapping the show. And I just want to really quickly recap. Your website is theplatinumage.com, and your blog talk show, Beacon for Lightworkers. Is that on a regular basis, or you just search it?
The gifted webinars are monthly, and then on the off weeks, I'm typically sharing remembering workshops. So there's a member site link that's available, and that would be available in my newsletter. If people sign up for my newsletter on the website, there's a little join newsletter in the lower left-hand corner, and they can access the newsletters, and that will have the invite link to the member site, or they can just email me through the contact form, and I can send it to them to get access and register for all the other offerings that we have more regularly. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep up with myself, Ariel. I have all these ideas for what to share.
I know what that's like. Well, yes. Jill, just thank you so much. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have you with us this evening. And we will look forward to having you back on because we're continually changing and wrapping up for you. So keep in touch and let us know what's new in your world.
Thank you so much. And I just have so much appreciation and honor for all that you all are doing. So thank you so much as well. And I would be honored to be back on again anytime.
Well, you are welcome. So on behalf of all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.